this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new... So, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the
sun. Lord, won't face Tyson Jackson. Come on, Ricky on the board. SP Futures down a buck, Chuck. NASDAQ Futures up 36. This is after a sell-off, pretty big sell-off yesterday, except we really closed a lot higher than we were down. I'm going to say, I'm saying it when I say exactly where we are. Dow was down 450. It was down over 5. S&P was down 26, but it was in the 40s on the way down. NASDAQ was down 250 and only closed down 93. So we had a pretty big buy the dip on the close, which seems, like Joel said on Tuesday, no matter what happens, there's a bid under the market, at least for now. So we'll see what happens today. Do we have Professor Kevin?
You do. How's the sound?
You're okay. Well, where are you? Where are you, in jail?
I'm in the car driving to Indianapolis.
What are you doing there?
Meeting with some fellow wizards.
Oh, God.
Well. So, yeah, we got all the different campuses, supply chain management chairs, getting together, plotting strategy and plotting my overthrow as the statewide chair.
Do you have to bring your chair with?
No, but I am taking chili. I did promise them I would bring chili today.
Well, it's not a bad thing. The karma smells.
It's not a bad thing.
The karma smells good.
I was in two chili cook-offs over the winter so far, and I won them both.
The only problem with cooking chili in my building is that people upstairs smell like onions and garlic for a while.
Well, I'm not too heavy on the garlic. Plenty of onions in there, though.
Well, I read a book once way back when I always liked chili and I wanted to start to learn how to make it. So I bought this book called Chili Madness. Imagine me buying a book. And I went through 30 recipes, Kevin, and it's almost exactly like Italian cooking. Garlic, olive oil, whatever the hell else you want to put in there. Maybe a little basil, right? Every recipe comes down to just about every recipe. One onion, one garlic, 1 pound of meat, and whatever the hell else you want to do. Some have sauce, some have no sauce, some have beans, some have no beans. I mean, there's a million different varieties, but it all starts with, like, the same three things. One garlic, one onion, one beef.
All right, well, I have black beans and kidney beans. So I do the beans. I do not use 1 pound of meat. I use 3, and it's all bacon. Then, you know, some onions, green peppers, some celery chopped in there. Of course, some serrano peppers chopped up. We're not sissies in this world, so we leave the seeds in. So we got that going for us. And I'm trying to think of what else do I throw in there? I think that's enough stuff. Of course. Some diced up tomatoes, and you know, I'll share the recipe with you sometime. It's pretty darn good. People love their bacon chili. Gives it a nice smoky flavor.
It does. Most of them have a little bit, but some I like it a little more. Like you say, one thing they didn't mention in the book is other than maybe putting they use poblano. How do we get Stockton Jackson chili here? But they use poblano peppers for kind of the flavoring. And the warning was always, be very careful about using, you know, habaneros or whatever kind of peppers, because you can't just say put two in there, because the two might be very strong, they might be very weak. So they really always recommended you get go to the essentially the Mexican store and buy the powdered red chili de arbol or whatever they call it, the red, because at least one teaspoon is equal to the next. So you just got to be careful putting the irregular stuff, because I know Audrey had a I'm sure he's still a friend or whatever the hell he is, but she had a place down in Michigan, in Ogden Dunes. The guy would make I don't know what his recipe was, but he had cream cheese and something. He would stuff the jalapenos, and he'd stuff both the fresh and the ones out of the jar. And you'd sit there and you'd eat four or five of them, and you'd say, "Wow, these things are really good." The sixth one, all of a sudden, there's steam coming out of your ears. You just because those little peppers, they're just not even. You know.
Well, here's your secret, Tom. Here's how you address that. I always cook it at night, and I let it just brew in a crock pot overnight. And then I get up in the morning, and it is definitely got a lot of kick. So, and if you want to take the edge off, I get two bunches of fresh cilantro, and in the morning I chop them up. I just actually hold the bunch over the crock pot, take the scissors to it, and just start chopping. And put in all that cilantro, it takes the edge off completely.
Really?
It's beautiful.
We used to have one point, Kevin, you probably, I don't remember, we had 11 traders on the floor, right, my firm. And one of the guys brought in these peppers. I don't know where the hell he got them. This other guy says, "I love hot peppers," and he takes a bite. He's don't really takes a big bite out of it. Well, he had blisters on his lip, whatever these peppers were. And then he touched it. He had a blister on his finger. I don't know what the hell those things were, but they were
warm. Probably ghost peppers, perhaps.
Maybe. Hey, so what's going on in the world with boy? It sure seems like the next month's employment numbers might not be so hot, eh? Not just the government. It seems like other people are. Meta's laying off 5%. A lot of people laying off. It's Walmart came out and said that their numbers weren't so hot, and they were down a bunch yesterday. I mean, seems like there's some failing around the edges here to this economy. I don't know.
The price levels had to catch up. It was inevitable, especially with the big jolt in October. And I think you're absolutely seeing it where, you know, they may be turning a lot of, they still show a lot of revenue, but they're just not showing the volume behind it. And and you're starting to see adjustments too. What was it? We talk about this in the classroom sometimes, and they were telling me all of a sudden all the fast food places now have some kinds of special deals, packages that they didn't have for a long time. You know, they always had the dollar menu, and the dollar menu turned into the $2.50 menu or whatever it was. But now they're recognizing that people can't afford to take, you know, their two kids and go to a fast food joint, and so they're starting to adapt and starting to lower their prices. And you know, I think they're probably hoping that'll get people in, but maybe the kids will get the cheaper meals and the grown-ups will get something else. I think all those dynamics are starting to happen because everybody's realizing that their volumes are down and they can't ride the revenue train forever, the high price train forever. It's like you said, the first couple of beers taste great, and the last six, not so hot. So I think you're seeing that phenomenon in there.
I just wonder when there's been this, you know, to me it's fairly obvious, I think to a lot of people it is, there's been this disconnect between every man and asset prices for a while. And I really have hoped, I know Carl's always been in the mindset, that there's never going to be a catch-up. And, and in terms of, you would think there's going to have to be a correction someplace, maybe not for a while. But I always thought it was worth a chance to just, you know, take your money supply numbers, make them even for a while, and hope that the wages and stuff catch up. I'm not so sure about that now, Kevin. I'll agree with Carl if the thing's going to come the other way, but I just see so many things now that are so I unfortunately have had some when you drive an older truck every day, you know, I've had a couple issues where it's been in and out of the shop this week a little bit. But I've absolutely you get an education of certainly in that industry what's happening to every man in America, in the sense that used car prices are rocketing up again. I don't care what in the God's name somebody's talking about. To get the darn thing fixed, if you can find a guy. Yesterday I went for my emissions test. Well, Illinois Rauner, in his infinite wisdom, he was the governor before Pritzker, Republican, get all pissed off at the city. So in this is what people do in government. He took all the emission testing places out of the city just to piss the city off, because now everybody in the city has to drive to the burbs to get their car tested. I mean, and how childish is that? Anyway, so I go to this guy, but now you can go to some of the, you can just go to a couple of mechanics places, you can do it. So I pile into this place, and the guy comes out, he's real nice, my wait was 20 seconds, so there's nothing wrong with that. Well, they don't stick the thing up to behind the car anymore, they just put it in and check your codes. Kevin, the guy's, it's this huge place, it's out in Orland, actually it's in Homewood Glen, I guess. And there's got to be 20 cars, 5 lifts in the place. He must have 25 cars waiting out front. I see 2 mechanics walking around. I'm going, what the hell is the wait in this place? I mean, I know my niece, some guy blows a red light and whacks into her, right? He's, of course, drunk a whole bit. Fortunately, she's okay. Car is not. Well, State Farm fights with her for about 2 months before they finally give her a check. The car is, I mean, it was a... I'm going to say a 10, 12-year-old something-something Toyota or whatever it was, in really nice shape, she kept it. Well, it doesn't matter when you go to the Blue Book value whether it's in really nice shape or not, a little bit. There's no way on earth she's within $3,000 or $4,000 leaving buying the same car that year in any kind of equivalent shape. It's not even close. I mean, I think... You know, this transportation is just draining on people. Plus, the city just put another tax on the parking. You look at every sector. You know, you look at the medical sector. Every sector, every area is just a spot where people. No way a regular employee making $50,000 a year at a family 55 or whatever the family number is. There's no way you can even. You're not even close. I mean, it's not a question of. You know, you don't go out to drink that night because you had to fix your car. We're not even on the same planet. You're talking about like $1,000 to fix the car, you know, type of thing. I mean, I don't know where this ends.
Yeah, and the way it worked out, Tom, I think it's, that the car gets to a certain age and it starts having things break. I had a furnace guy in last weekend because my furnace is... You know, it's more than 20 years old. It could last quite a while longer, but the motor needs for the blower needs to be replaced. It's $800. And 800 and change actually. So it's well up there. And you get to the point where it starts to nickel dime you, except it's not nickel dime anymore.
You're breaking up pretty good, but we can still hear you. But I just don't know what the newer vehicles. And again, I'm not, Carl's more into all the systems that are in these things. I can't imagine what a new car like today, with all of the enhancements, whatever you want to call them. I can't imagine what that thing is going to cost to fix 20 years ago from now, with all the intertwined things in the. This camera and that sensor and that sensor. If I could buy a 97 pickup, Kevin, I would buy one tomorrow in good shape. I don't want any of that crap. I don't want to fix it. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want any of that stuff. I know I'm kind of a Luddite, but what do I? It's one thing when it all works, but if I was going to get something new, it'd be on a 3-year lease program. It would have to be. I don't want that thing 10 years old. What am I going to do with it? I mean,
I agree, and it's going to start sucking down cash at that age, and we are really at a point where it is difficult to make ends meet.
I Hey, I want to ask you, while we still have, because John's going to call in at 6:30, because he's missed out a couple of Mondays. What do you think of Pritzker? He's getting more into the education thing. What do you think of him allowing the some of the community colleges now to do four-year degrees? You guys do four-year degrees, don't you, or do you?
No, we do not. We do not. But we have a really good relationship with the state schools throughout Indiana. So, you know, we have a very specific transfer core that says you will be able to get a four-year degree if that's what you want to do. As long as you have the right, you know, the right GPA, you'll get credit for all the courses. So that's pretty specifically articulated and coordinated. Now we offer three levels of degrees. It's actually sort of four. One is the certificate, and that's generally, you know, 18 hours, could be a little more, could be a little less. Like our Department of Defense logistics certificate is, you know, 24 hours, 24 credit hours. So, but that's pretty standard stuff, is that you get that like 18 hours, six courses, and a certificate. The second level is a technical certificate, which I never recommend to anybody. That's sort of like half of an associate's degree. So it's the core that goes into the certificate, plus a bunch of general education courses. And then there's two versions of associate's degree. There's one that's sort of an end game in itself, associate of applied science, and the other one is just associate's, that is intended for people who are transferring to four-year school. So those are your layers. Those are what the programs are that we offer.
So why did, when Pritzker was talking about other states have already done this, and I thought he named Indiana, is he referring to the fact that you guys are so attached to the hip that if somebody wants to do 4 years, it's really easy for them? He did, I mean, it's not that, because he mentioned...
Well, I think it's the other way. I think there are some schools that offer two-year degrees in addition to their four-year degrees. So, you know, like a Vincennes College, for example, would be an example of that. So, you know, you might be shocked that perhaps, you know, the governor is a little misinformed.
He was mentioning, well, are you guys considered community colleges? Because that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, but that's the same thing. Okay. The older term is junior college. Now everybody says community college.
Okay. I'm surprised that he has to have a state law he wants to put in regard to. I mean, it's been a long time since I was in school. Do people feel they have the right to have their cell phone in their classroom? He said they think they need to pass a law to allow teachers to keep the kid's cell phone out of the class or off. But do you need a law for that instead of the teacher saying you turn the damn thing off?
Well, I can't speak to high school, and I would be very frustrated dealing with high school kids and their, you know, their constant attachment to the cell phones. I get people that have their cell phones on, and they may even check at some points in time, but that's my job to manage it. I don't need to, you know, I don't need a rule. It's not hard for me anyway to manage it, because I just walk over to whoever the person is with on the cell phone and stand there while I'm talking to the whole class, and it's kind of intimidating, and they kind of set it aside. But I also have students that have something going on in their lives, and they need to stay connected, and they tell me that, and I say, okay, you know, no problem. We, you know, you treat people like adults, because I have adults in the classroom.
Well, I mean, are there parents that actually give you blowback if the high school teacher tells the kid to turn the phone off? I guess there is.
You know, Tom, there may be. I don't know about that because I don't have high school kids.
What I want to, since John's calling in here pretty soon, but that doesn't mean you can't stay. I always bring this up, and everybody kind of rolls their eyeballs, because when you talk about the sports stuff and the money, we went through the NBA things last week, and then I was looking at the TV ratings. Now, of course, the Bulls are down 63%. Part of that, I'm sure, is because they haven't gotten their way into Comcast yet. I don't know how much, but there's another couple teams that are in the 30 and 35% range. I forget which ones they were. But on the national level, they said that the ESPN and ABC, essentially, well, ABC is free, right? They're either up 1% or down 1% from last year. But the other ones, the one that if you want to watch like you know, the Tuesday night games where you get, you know, three different games going with the different parts of the country, that I mean, you got, if you want to watch decent NBA basketball, you can't watch the Bulls. You got to watch somebody else. So I actually somewhat familiar with these Tuesday games because you get to see some decent teams play. They claim those are down a lot. The anything, because that's what it's TNT and what's the other one? True, they have the two stations. True and TNT, is that their two?
It's probably TBS and TNT.
Okay, and it, sometimes there's two games on for the first game, then the last game is, you know, it's the Lakers playing Portland or somebody. So, but I mean, they say, they claim those are down. Anything that's strictly cable is down a lot. Now, the
Tom, I think in the NBA's case, I think they've, you know, they're in a cycle that has happened in the past with the NBA, where it's unwatchable at the moment. It's just not good basketball. They need Magic and Bird and Jordan to come along again, or, you know, or a different style of play to come along, and they'd be very foolish to try and legislate it, you know, to jigger the rules, because that's part of their problem, is that they've done a lot with the rules to make, you know, I mean, they don't run offenses anymore. Guys come down, they pass the ball around the perimeter, someone shoots up a three. You know, so who's entertaining to watch? Well, Denver, because they do feed the post, and they do, you know, they do get the ball there, and that's the basis for running any offense. And you know, so I think they've made the game unwatchable. Baseball did the same thing by letting everybody get so damn pokey, and they addressed it with the play clock, which, you know, I think has given them a much better game now.
Well, I guess where I'm always going with this is, whenever, you know, back in my youth, I used to do this kind of stuff where you'd say, you know, what about this product? What about, you know, should Pullman, you know, get a new furnace for the 90 gazillion year old plant, that kind of thing. You always need some sort of a view of your world going forward and your market. The one thing, I don't know feel free to use this, Kevin, is when I was in MBA school, and you're taking kind of advanced marketing, you're taking advanced finance, you're taking advanced accounting. I think the day you kind of sort of figure it out, we never figure everything out, is the day you realize they're all the same subject. You sit there and go, well, I can't really,
oh, yeah.
I can't really do very much on the marketing side unless I know, by the way, we have the financing, if we have to borrow to make the stuff, and all of a sudden I don't get paid for 60 days or 90 days, do we have the bank lines? So you can't just be the marketing guy without talking to the finance guy, or without realizing, by the way, are we selling this for more to cost to make it or not? You got to talk to the accounting guy. So, I mean, but looking forward, I mean, the NBA's had this massive run, and baseball's had this, and we talked about the valuations last week, you know, $5 billion for this team and $7 for that team. And yet, you know, I was being doggy downer a little bit and saying, well, Jesus, why the hell would anybody pay $7 billion for a team that's making $200 million? Now, my question is, you would, if you had a vision of the world that said, you know, not to get more of my pet topics, but if the Fed's going to piss so much money into the economy that $7 billion 10 years from now is, you know, is you and I leaking in Lake Michigan, well, that's a view. And it, you know, it is definitely a view. It's the same as getting your paycheck in the Weimar Republic and going and shopping before lunch, right? Because it was higher in the afternoon. I'm not saying that view is wrong. I'm saying you need a view of some kind. You know, if all of a sudden we go into a three-year, you know, a little bit of stagflation, a little bit of a recession, I'm not talking depression or anything, I don't know that $7 billion is a good buy. If for the next 5 years you're making $200 million, which seems like a lot of money, but if you pay that much for something, I mean, I guess my question is, what do you suppose the view of the various sports are? I mean, clearly, in college, I honestly believe, between the NIL and the teams wanting to be big and the private money, I think they don't know where they're going, but they're well on their way. I think that's somewhat of a goat bleep that may end up fine, you know, I guess, but because there clearly is...
Tom, I think you're largely correct about that with college. There are some people who had a vision of this expanded playoff, which from a fan point of view was probably a success first time through. I think they're going to tweak it some. I think they'll expand it a little bit, and they may overdo it, and they probably have, you know, they've already overdone it, I think. But regardless of that, there's some vision as it relates to the playoffs, but as to, in terms of the mechanics of how everything's going to work, no, the events are driving the vision, not the other way around. So yeah, there isn't and hasn't been a strategy for that.
In the immortal words of William Kennedy, events are in the saddle and they drove the men hard.
Yeah, that's what you got. That's exactly what you have.
Well, but I mean,
that would be, you know, that's bad business. You have to have some idea of where you're trying to steer the ship, and they haven't. They've been totally reactive to it, and it's not good. You know, what sports leagues and sport teams really do have a grip on it? I don't know. The NFL probably better than most. Major League Baseball, not really, especially because they really have a big deal labor situation brewing after this season. So, I don't know what's going to happen with that, and I don't know what they envision happening, you know, what the leadership group of that envisions happening. So it'll vary from league to league. The other thing that they have that drives up the prices is they have scarcity on their side. So there's only so many people in the club. So if you want to buy your way in the club, and you're talking about people with substantial egos, you bid up the price.
Well, I have a feeling that as time goes by, the new attitude. It's not just a Republican thing. I think some of the Democratic people are the same way, talking about we have to rein in some of these spending. This is sort of not the time to say, give me $5 billion for a stadium, I think, you know.
I think the state of Illinois agrees with you.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, I'll use the term spout off, yeah, private equity is going to buy into Notre Dame and Michigan football, and that's what you're going to end up with. Who did we have on yesterday? Was talking about that being this. But now, okay, I'm going to say to you, all right, Kevin, I'm Joe BlackRock, and I want to buy into Michigan football. It's one thing to say I want in. It's quite another to say, by the way, what is the future? How much do I pay for it? I mean, what's the price?
So what you're talking about is tactic without a strategy.
Right. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we had, you know, 15 girlfriends? No, it wouldn't. Well, how's the tactics on that work?
No damn way. Hey, is John in? I can't, you know, I'm not looking at the meeting. So I'd like to, and John would be really good on this topic. I'd like to just follow up a little bit on Russia, Ukraine. And,
well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go to break, and we'll grab John, and we'll be right back. SP Futures up 3, NASDAQ Futures up 63. Looks like we're bouncing from yesterday at least a little bit. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Blown up bank, Stocks and Jocks. I'm talking about Ricky on the board. SP Futures up 3. NASDAQ Futures up 62. Now, NASDAQ was only down like 90-something yesterday, so they're almost back. It was the Dow, and it was S&Ps that were down. Walmart was leading the Dow down by like $7. So there was some movement down there. So we're bouncing back somewhat on that today. Dow's down another 130. What do we got? Mostly United Healthcare is down $45. That's 9%. Ouch on that. So that's taking all the, you know, again, that $45 is, you got to multiply that by like 6.5. So it's like 200 and some points in the Dow to one stock. We got Salesforce up 250. You know, we've got Home Depot up a buck something. Stock was down a bunch yesterday. I'm surprised as American Express. I mean, there's stocks that are kind of surprising you here. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 98 points. These guys were down yesterday. up, that's 0.2%. Hong Kong, up 900, it's 4%. Hong Kong shares hit three-year highs as investors weigh Japan inflation data and Trump tariff threats. Shanghai is up 28, that's 0.9%. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 51.2%, FTSE up 9, call that flat. CAC around up 41.5%. Bonds, 10-year down 1 basis point, 4.49. It's been kind of steady in this mid-4 range here for a while. Bund down 4 basis points, 2.49. Japan down 2 basis points, 1.42. Oil down 66 cents, right around the 72 number. We're right back down here after going to 74, 75. 71.82. Brent down 64 cents, 75.84. Natural gas up 9 cents, 4.25. Evidently, this coal spell's been pretty good for the natural gas guys. Gold down 8.30, but still 29.47. Silver down 8 cents, 33.40. Copper down 2 cents, 4.58. Foreign exchange, dollar near 2025 lows as bulls get nervous. We've got the euro at 104.6, the British pound at 126.4, and the Japanese yen 150.37. Crypto up 334, 98,904. What do you have for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Morning, Chief. It's 6:39 a.m. here in Chicago. 8 degrees right now with a high of 22. Partly sunny and very cold. Tonight will be cold, clear and frigid with a low of 10 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, 51 degrees right now with a high of 80. Nights with plenty of sun, and tonight will be clear with a low of 50 degrees. Let's go to traffic in Chicago. Eamon Kennedy from Monroe's looking at 9 minutes. 22 minutes, Eamon Edens from Lane Cook. Eamon Eisenhower from Wolf, 17 minutes. Inbound Dan Ryan from 95th, 15 minutes. And inbound Stevenson from 294 to the Dan Ryan, 17 minutes. Lastly, sports. Yesterday, Bulls lose to Knicks 111-113, and the Suns lose to Spurs 109-120. This Saturday, February 22nd, tomorrow, we got Suns at Bulls at 4 p.m. NHL yesterday, Canada beats the U.S. in the Nations Faceoff 3-2. And then this Saturday, tomorrow, February 22, we got Blackhawks at Blue Jackets at 6 p.m. Back over to you, Chief.
We have Jen.
Yes, we do. You do. Good morning, all.
How are you? What did you think of the hockey thing, Kevin? Where you would never get in a softball tournament like that. They're 1-1, and one guy's won.
Haven't you ever been in a double elimination tournament?
Yeah, and when you come out of it, you got to win. You got to beat the guy 2 out of 3.
Yeah, well, different structure for this one.
It's kind of like the World Cup, where they got the ones where there's like the play-in rounds, and then all of a sudden you lose a bunch of games there, but then as long as you get out of your group, then it's single elimination, right?
Yeah.
So the U.S. was essentially 2-2, right?
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they took the last round before the championship very seriously.
No, last night was a pretty good game. I don't think I made it to overtime, but I made it through the three periods. It was pretty good. I mean, good hockey. Tell how good those guys are.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
So, John, welcome. We're solving the problems of the sports world, but not really in a sports way. Just sort of the same way as education. You got to know where you're going. You got to sort of plan for it. You got to figure out what the prices are, and you have to have some view of the future. Speaking of view of the future, I can't figure out whether this thing with Ukraine and Russia is either one of the most brilliant negotiating ploys I've ever heard, or some guy who's got a real problem and he's owned by the Russians. I go back and forth on this. I sure hope it's A and not B. It's kind of crazy.
Why do you think he's owned by the Russians?
He's been doing business with the guys a real long time, and you never know what kind of, and I don't know. He's not. The Russians are pretty good at having stuff on people. Who knows what he's what you know what. I mean,
the reason I ask is because there was a 3-year special counsel investigation aimed at nailing Trump on Russia, and they came up with nothing. So I know you're fond of saying that, but don't you think they would have come up with something?
Well, I don't think that it's a crime to have a building that nobody seems to want to rent, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of Russian oligarchs decide to rent it. I don't think that's a crime, but could there be some lingering?
That didn't even come up. That didn't even come up. I know. I'm saying
that's what I said. There's no crime there. The question is there some, night the guy was out with 15 bureaucrats or oligarch somewhere and did stuff nobody wants to know about. Is there something else? Let's put it this way. There's enough of a history there that I'm just a little nervous about it. I wouldn't if you were doing it, I wouldn't think that, you know, because I don't think you have a bunch of oligarchs living in your house. I'm just saying, is there something?
No, they visit once in a while, but they don't live there.
I mean, I said I hope none of that's true. I really do wonder why anybody thinks that somebody invites somebody to invade you. I mean, I don't think wanting to be a member of NATO is a cause for somebody to come in and kill all your people. That's same thing that happened in Kuwait. Somebody on our side allegedly let Saddam Hussein know that because evidently the Kuwaitis were stealing oil right near the border with cross drilling, or some, God knows, it was so long ago. We basically said we turned a blind eye. We, the ambassador over there, so we'd turn a blind eye if he wanted to kind of move over the border and shove those people away from his oil fields, is the story I remember. Well, we didn't say take the whole damn place and go rape the women and do all the other stuff. Right? I don't think we ever said that, did we? And so the question is, I mean, did these guys push too hard on the NATO thing to piss Russia off? I don't know. But I also know, the three of us, by the way, we were on the show a couple of years ago. We also said, because Angelique is from there, and I know a few other people that we meet once in a while, I think it was a really bad idea to cancel the elections 2 years ago for Zelensky. I think you need that whatever you want to call, that boost from your populace saying you're on the right track. And Roosevelt didn't cancel elections. Abraham Lincoln didn't cancel elections, did he? But it doesn't mean he's more of a... I mean, Putin's... I don't think Zelensky's guy died in... opponent died in jail, did he? I mean, Zelensky's no prize, but if you put the two of them next...
And we're not talking about whether these are good guys. We're talking about what the interest is here, the U.S. interest is, and the amount of dollars that we've sunk into it. And so I think Lou was right when he said, you know, they're losing. They're losing a little bit more every month.
I would agree.
And so we can't have, you know, it's stupid to say we're going to go until the last Ukrainian man soldier is dead, and then we have no choice. But what there's another thing that I think is going on, and this is why Trump has been so aggressive in getting Russia involved, is through this whole war in Ukraine. Because of the steadfast support of the United States, whether you agree with doing that or not, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that has pushed Russia and China closer. I think with the threat that China is, I think that the current administration would really like to see if they could back that off. See if they can get, whether it's a wedge, whether they can drive a wedge. I don't know if they can drive a wedge in that relationship, but can they undo it? Can they make it less polarized that it's China and Russia versus the U.S. and make it more, the U.S. and Russia have one part of the one relationship, and U.S. and China have a different adversarial relationship. That's what I think's going on.
I think it is too, and I think we've all talked. Matter of fact, I think we agreed that Zelensky and Putin are never going to sit down and come up with a solution. And that's. I don't think numbers a long time, but I sort of can't imagine that happening. So somehow or another, somebody's going to have to lob one in from the top. And I think our former president understood that, but then he degraded so fast he couldn't pull it off. Now whether he could have anyway, I don't know, but. I think somewhere along the line...
I don't think he understood it. I think he was degraded when he took office.
Well, whatever.
Yes.
Okay, but that's the view from one side. What I'm saying is
yeah, the one with eyes.
Okay. Well, I mean, you guys believe what you want to believe in the extremes. I don't know. I don't know enough about these people to know whether they're good, bad, or in the barrel. I think they're mostly lately have been kind of bad. Anyway, but now how you do that, and I think. Maybe Trump-style negotiating might just be just what we need here. It could be, if he's pure on the subject and is not working deals with his kids and doing crap. That makes me nervous all the time, Kevin. I didn't see Roosevelt with these deals on the side. I don't think Abraham Lincoln did. It just bothers me. I mean, anyway. So, will this? You know, what's the number there? How much of Ukraine does Russia get to keep? That's the bottom line, right? It's the same thing as us talking about how much is a How much does BlackRock pay for the Irish? I mean, right?
I remember that being a conversation we had the first week of the conflict.
Absolutely.
Is what's going to be the negotiated settlement? And unfortunately, nobody negotiated until now.
We're
in a spot with you know the way things have unfolded. This is all very predictable going back how many years, 10, 15 years. Now we're looking at a settlement where Ukraine is going to give up something. How much, is yet to be determined. But the only reason that's an issue now is because of the pushback by all the blather about NATO in Ukraine. The U.S. practically went to nuclear war with Russia over missiles to Cuba in 1962. Why would we expect Russia to act any less hostile when they're approached by a NATO base in Ukraine and a full membership, with triggering all the bilateral agreements? I don't blame Putin for responding the way he did. I blame us for having stirred things up to the extent.
John, how can you?
Now Ukraine's going to lose, Tom, and this is all going to happen from the get-go. There's no way this would be a different, situation now if the U.S. hadn't pushed so hard to destabilize Ukraine, start all the trouble, get all the war hawks, Robert Kagan and Victoria Nuland involved, and create a situation that we've spent billions of dollars now to pretty much go back to square one over. For what? For what?
Okay, why didn't it happen? Why did Finland... We let them in. They're on border with Russia.
But I'm sorry.
Finland's now in NATO, right?
Yeah, but Finland.
So why didn't Russia invade them? Is it would be okay if they invaded them?
Well, Russia is going to look at its options in attacking any NATO country, certainly. But why push NATO where it hasn't been and stir things up in a way that was totally unnecessary? Totally meant to destabilize the situation, Tom. It wasn't sending any signals about, this was about confronting
mistakes? I'm not going to deny we might have made some mistakes.
That $300 billion mistakes, Tom.
Okay, but the million people that are dead are on Putin. They're not on us. There's no way they're on us.
Well, we're not completely blameless, Tom.
I didn't say completely blameless, but there's a big difference between arguing with somebody and shooting them.
They can't blame Russia for responding to our aggression and then complain when the people we were supposedly pushing the cause for
when the thing broke apart under God knows who it was it Gorbachev? Ukraine gave up less. They became an independent place. Why can't they choose between the West or the East? Why can't they? Finland did, Estonia did, Latvia did, Lithuania did, Poland did. Why do these guys not get to do it?
The U.S. was meddling in Ukraine, unlike the way it was meddling in those other countries, I would say.
Well, okay, so Finland had no invitation to join NATO. One day they dropped the application on NATO's desk. There was no talks whatsoever.
I think there was response because our making NATO such an issue with Ukraine, we can't expect other countries in the region not to get upset by what they're facing. So if they were looking for an umbrella coverage under NATO because of what we did, maybe that was all part of the strategy anyway. But the Ukraine thing is really on us, Tom. I got to tell you, everything I've tried to get my head around. It was totally unnecessary, and it was crazies in the State Department that were pushing it.
With
the result pretty much foreordained.
There's still people in this country. Matter of fact, Lou was saying it yesterday. There's still people in this country who say, we forced Japan into World War II. The bleep we did. Why would we sell them steel and oil after what they did to China? What obligation did we have to push their war machine? What obligation do we have? Putin, who's killed every guy who's come near him, what possible obligation would we have to support that guy and to make sure Ukraine doesn't piss him off? I mean, I just don't get it. The guy killed a million people. Ukraine didn't go after him. Neither did we. There's a difference between arguing with somebody and shooting them.
Tom, as I said with the Cuba situation, we were prepared to do worse than what we did. To keep Russia from getting its missiles ensconced in Cuba. Nobody thought that was something we should tolerate. So why would we expect the Russians to tolerate, you know, pushing NATO to join, pushing Ukraine to join NATO? How could we be so blind?
We were going to boot the Russians out of Cuba. We blockaded Cuba. We didn't invade. We didn't lob the first nuke. Big difference.
But it was hair trigger diplomacy that prevented a war.
So
and both countries knew the stakes and how serious it was, and the U.S. was willing to go to the mat for that, as I think they were right to feel. But why wouldn't I expect Russia to feel the same kind of threat when you got, you know, us pushing Ukraine to become not just an ally of the United States?
The difference is they for 60 years have invaded people and occupied other places. We haven't. I refuse to believe that we are the world equivalent to Russia. I mean, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be a self-flagellant.
We played a game of brinksmanship that we lost. Clearly, it didn't have to come to this. We wanted it to come to this. The people in power behind the scenes wanted this kind of confrontation. They expected fully that Russia would respond by invading. Or they were really stupid. I think they knew this would happen, and they thought they could turn it into some kind of a public relations win, where Russia would be demonized as so many administrations have tried to do, going back to the Bolshevik revolution. But we lost that gambit. I'm sorry, and a lot of Ukrainians paid for it with their lives. But at least Penny Pritzker will have a big contract to rebuild Ukraine, so all is not lost.
I honestly believe it. If you went back day to day, should we have done some things differently? But at the end of the day, I believe the Ukrainians get to push their own future. It's that Russia looking back in the rearview mirror, they used to be ours.
Why were we telling them you should join NATO and make sure our government's goes along?
Well, because they're powerless because they had to get rid of their nukes and stuff. Okay.
Because we started a coup that made it happen just the way we wanted it to. Talk about meddling.
I think they should be able to join NATO. Why shouldn't they?
Well, when we instigate a coup to make sure that that's the political speech that's coming out of Ukraine, aren't we responsible?
There's an awful lot of reasons to get the other guy before this guy out of power.
Well, that's hindsight.
But not our reasons. That's not what you're arguing, Tom, is that they should be able to self-determine, and yet here we are telling them, no, here's what you're supposed to determine.
I don't know where my education is.
Would I word I can't blame Putin? No, I don't think I'd word it that way. And I'm not exonerating Putin. I'm not justifying his tactics at all. But what I am saying is it was predictable. At the time, there were a lot of people that said this is a mistake, and how far are you willing to push the guy to see whether if I'm standing there with you and I keep pushing you and I push you in the shoulder and I push you in the shoulder and I push you in the shoulder, but that's not violent and that's not going to hurt you, and then you punch me in the face and break my nose or break my jaw, at some point I say, I understand why you did that. I wish you hadn't. You could even be charged with a crime of assault. But nevertheless, I understand it. We've talked about this with pro athletes. Should they ever hit anybody back? When someone is pushing, you get in that barroom argument or something like that. And I would say, no, I want them to have the restraint because they are so far off the charts in terms of physical strength and their ability to do harm to another person. Great, I'd rather they not. But I do understand that when somebody pushes hard enough, they're going to get punched and it's going to really hurt.
But there's a difference between pushing, like in terms of NATO. And I guess maybe we should, John, do you think if we went back before what Japan did to China, there was some legitimate reason that China pissed Japan off and all of a sudden they were totally justified? Are we willing to go there, the escalation to this level? That they get
Find people in Japan who would say that probably to this day, but that doesn't mean that was...
Does Russia really need the 300,000 kids they took from Ukraine? What's that all about? I don't care what anybody does to you. In my moral background, you can't do that. Just me. We wouldn't do that to somebody. I don't think. I hope.
I understand, but as Lou often tells you, you have to know how they think, not how you think. And if you know how, you know, Putin thinks, that's going to give you an extra element of judgment that you have to exercise.
I don't deny. I bet there's somebody in France or in Spain that thinks he still owns the middle of the U.S. because when Spain gave it to France, they said, if you ever sell it to anybody else, you got to give it back to us. I bet we can still find that piece of paper somewhere, right, too.
Now, you're getting some argument that that if I really wanted to have that, I would just get married again.
I'm one of those people that says no matter what, you take this to this violent level, people start dying. It's not just a question of somebody pissed you off, whether somebody maybe did things the wrong way and maybe we pushed NATO too much and that kind of crap. I get it, but why would Ukraine want to put their future in Russia? And Putin has this thing in his mind, I believe, that Russia should never give up these places, and they're really his. Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, I'm sure Britain feels that way about India, but get over it.
Do we want to fight Russia over Ukraine's complete independence, Tom? I don't think so. Why shouldn't we?
That's
any more than somebody's going to. Well, I mean, somebody may fight us over Greenland or someplace with our territorial expansionism. But this is, you know, it all becomes a point at which the aggression as perceived by some nation against another is so intolerable that we have to respond far more aggressively than we seem to be receiving at the moment, or else the jig is up and we got to pay this price now rather than try to figure out the calculus later on. And I think that's what we recklessly made happen. And I'm sure we knew to some extent how much this would respond in a way that would require some kind of damage control down the road, but we were perfectly willing to, you know, keep the ball rolling and to throw billions of dollars at a proxy war that we had no hope of ever winning and never wanted to fight in the first place. If you think about it.
It didn't turn out the way anybody wanted it to. It still does not absolve the people that fired the first shot.
Well, but we bore a tremendous responsibility for being the flashpoint in all of this, and we can't claim we had clean hands in any of that.
Jan, you know, it's interesting.
Maybe we're shocked at the response, but we should have had some smarter people saying, well, you're likely to have this result if you do this now, so let's not do this now. No, it was just full steam ahead, damn the torpedoes, and now we got, you know, billions of dollars of...
Well, maybe people long ago knew they had so many rare earth minerals over there. Maybe, you know, maybe this is all because some companies want it in there.
Well, if that's what the calculus was, then okay, let's put that on the table.
Well, why do you think?
Just may explain why we thought we had a winning hand.
If you ever read, and we don't do this in this country because we never look back at anything. By the way, before you guys go, I'm going to ask you a couple more interesting questions. We never look back on this, but the invasion, the second invasion of Iraq. If you ever, Jan, you probably have. You read this stuff. You're goofy like me and read this crap. The British, what, 3 or 4 years later, put out kind of a post-mortem on the whole thing. Basically concluded we're never going to do this kind of crap with the U.S. ever again. Because the leadership was so corrupt and they could never get Cheney and Rumsfeld and those guys to zero in and sit down and say, okay, what's this place going to look like after the war? They were so busy cutting the oil up and how much they thought they were going to end up with various companies. They were all over that. We've had people like that in government on both sides forever.
We absolutely have. Yeah. And it's a correct assessment of that situation, and it's a correct assessment if you look at the same kind of thing, different flavor, happening in Ukraine. We had so many connected people connected very closely to a lot of politicians, not just the Bidens.
Oh yeah,
who were basically stealing Ukraine blind. And that's why they wanted, they didn't want the close relationship with the Russians, and that's why they engineered the change in government so that they could continue to plunder Ukraine. And, you know, that's a lot of what was behind there. John mentioned, you know, you got your, you know, Vindman's and Victoria Nuland people and, you know, those, but, there, you know, there's a lot more, including Romney and Kerry and, you know, all of those people that had their claws in that. And that was what was really driving the policy. And it kind of blew up on us, just like Iraq blew up on us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin, thank you for doing this while you're driving. I think you should bring your own chair when all the chair guys are going down there.
Hey, I get it's my meeting. I get to run the show.
That's what I mean. You should come out with some big thing, looks like kind of like a throne, and sit down right in the middle.
Yeah, they have a throne there. It's up the hall from where we meet.
Anyway, drive safe, buddy. John, we'll have you back on your regular stuff on Monday. Yeah, I miss you.
Monday morning.
Yeah, you're the. We've had too many Mondays off. I think we haven't. Well, I don't see enough of you.
And
I don't see
of the holidays, Tom. But you know, the holidays that aren't movable. You know, they go by whatever gives people the long weekend. So Monday.
Oh, hey, whoa. Before you dash, Carl's probably. And what do you make of? Matter of fact, Carl won't mind. Why don't you hang a few minutes? What do you make of this investigation of the assassinations and the? Who was the lady? Was she a congresswoman? Dark-haired, attractive. Evidently, the Kennedy stuff is working its way. Congress gets to review it first or something, and it's not quite for public knowledge yet, all the documents in the assassination. She came out and said, like, there's
Luna, the second assassin or whatever.
Yeah, she goes, there's no doubt there's a second one. I've always felt there was, maybe more than one.
And probably a third and a fourth that we may find out about, too.
I'm curious. Boy, it's been so long, but I saw it happen. Where does RFK Jr. think the second shooter was for RFK? I just saw the guy walk up and blast him. Where would the second one have been? I've never even heard anything about that. Have you?
The stuff I've read about it is that, you know, the eyewitness said Sirhan was just, you know, shooting every which way, ceiling all over the place, but somebody went right up to Kennedy and pointed a gun like 6 inches from his head or less and fired. And that's the assassin. But Sirhan
but wasn't it, didn't we get to watch, unfortunately, the whole thing?
Well, not any of the footage at the time showed exactly what was happening because the lighting was bad.
Okay.
It was chaos. Soon as Sirhan started shooting.
Oh, so okay. You're saying it could have been. How long has it been? 1968.
Well, Sirhan was the patsy, just like Lee Harvey Oswald was the patsy, and there was no killing shot from the Texas Book Depository any more than it was from Sirhan's gun.
But there were a lot of people, Rosie Greer being one of them, surrounding Bobby Kennedy. Even though they're all kind of ducking from Sirhan, how did somebody not see or notice somebody walking right up and blasting the guy? Because they all jumped on Sirhan.
Yeah, because he was the one everybody saw shooting a gun. But none of those shots killed
him. So you're saying that Bobby Kennedy Jr. could be right. I just never even thought there was a chance for a second one there.
And, you know, there were, what was it, just the thing I just read the other day, that somebody approached Rose Kennedy in California the week before Bobby was killed and passed her a note saying that RFK was going to be assassinated within a week. And, of course, nobody went... Rose didn't go public with that at the time, but I hope she notified somebody. But I think that this just like there were all of the, you know, recollections of people before JFK was shot, you know, a week beforehand. You know, all of this is, you know, been premeditated. It's planned. There was a plan A originally to kill Kennedy in Chicago, JFK, and then that changed.
Do you think we'll ever find out you or Carl? Is Carl with us?
Oh, I am indeed.
Is Carl ever going to?
Carl,
who's the lady in the babushka? Not some distant aunt of yours, was she?
Well, you know, you never do really know, do you?
They say she's the most, the biggest mystery in all of history. Who is the lady in the babushka, right?
Well, you know, it's the whole. Thing that I always find interesting is that there's always this refusal to take the somewhat longer view and pull the lens back. Okay, and being a photographer, I understand framing more than a little bit. Right? So, you know, you got a zoom lens, you choose your perspective, right? I mean, you know, how do you want to frame that shot? Well, we do the same thing with history. You know, we want to talk about the, you know, the craziness with Iraq and all of that. We can even go to the first Iraq war.
Yeah.
Who told Saddam he could go into Kuwait? We wouldn't do anything.
I think that whoever told him thought he could go in like a mile or two.
Well, really?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm hoping anyway.
Well, Chief, what evidence do you have for that assertion? Okay, because this is why I say the blinders, okay, and the framing of the perspective are so important.
The reason why I say that, though, since you asked me the question, is the original complaint, I thought, now you guys probably know better, was that Kuwait was using some new sort of drilling method to sneak in from one side of the border to the other to essentially get in Iraq's oil.
They were using horizontal drilling, which we, of course, use all the time now. It's part of why fracking works.
So my guess, if I were to say, yeah, you guys get a chance to stop that, it's your oil. Well, there's not a drill that goes 300 miles. You would think you'd stop after a couple of miles. That would be my assertion of what I just said.
Well, but you don't know what was said.
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
All we do know is that, and this is because some of the intelligence has been released, is that people within our government told him that we would not interfere if he put a stop to what he perceived as Kuwait's interference, despite the fact that Kuwait was formally a quote-unquote friend of the United States. All right? Now, he did. He went in there, and then we went in there and we kicked his ass.
Well,
now,
he went in there and he started raping everybody and all that. I don't think.
Well, he lit. Yeah, he lit. And then, you know, he lit all the oil wells on fire and all of this, right? All right. I mean, now, but here's the thing. Then, as if that wasn't enough, all right, we had their entire military cornered because they were stupid enough to come in on the one road.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. We blew up a couple tanks there. And then rather than just kill all of them, which we could have done, we let them regroup. We could have gone in during the aftermath of that. We could have gone in and captured Saddam or killed him and been done with it and said, okay, that's enough of this crap. But we didn't do that. And then what comes after that is, oh, these guys are making nukes, which we now know at the time was certainly a pretext to, you know, to do something about it, right? Because, you know, if you get them, you very well might use them. However, we now know that was a pretext and a lie. All right? And by the way, it was a lie that I bought
at
the time.
What do you suppose, the both of you guys, while we still have Jan, what do you suppose the schism was in the administration between the Super Hawks, the Cheney Rumsfeld gang, and who was the general? Colin Powell.
Powell
telling Bush, hey, we're shooting ducks in a pond. We can't just kill all these people. It's over.
Well, I don't know, but what I do know is this. Anybody that thinks that Bush wasn't involved in this up to his nuts, it has a few screws missing. Okay.
Which brings me to my next question. Sorry to interrupt, because I don't know when John's going to pile off here, but when what name's going to come out of this, the Kennedy files? Is it going to be Dulles, Bush, Johnson, all of the above?
Hoover, all of them. Yeah.
I think it's going to be all of them, and there's a number of other things that, from my perspective, I think are going to be extremely interesting, and we'll see exactly how this all plays out. Okay, I don't think that we're, you know, yes, you're going to get the answers that the government has, but are you going to get the actual answers? I don't know.
I don't know that much, you guys.
I will tell you what I do know, though. Our deliberate interference for what we consider to be strategic purposes, all right, and you can argue right or wrong whether we whether we should be able to do that beyond our borders or not or whatever have you. You want to go back even further with the stuff that ended up with Ukraine and everything else, you can look at the Balfour Declaration, which is why we have a Middle East problem. By the way, it also gave birth to Canada and Canada's system of government. Okay, the Balfour Declaration played large in that. The Balfour Declaration was, to a large degree, about carving up Middle Eastern oil. Everybody says, well, it was how we ended up with the Palestinian and the Jewish problem. That's true, it is. However, what drove everybody's interest, and that includes, by the way, France,
oh, yeah,
which was a large player in this, was carving up oil interests in the Middle East. And so the idea that this is somehow new is just crap.
Carl, there's a book. There's a book. He's been on the show a couple times. Jan Lee gave me. I don't know where he found it. Somewhere overseas. Something about the book. I think is entitled "U.S. in the Middle East," and it starts like the day oil was found. And yeah, we've been there. You know, Jan likes to read history more than me. But I got to about chapter 5 and 6. All these people, all these guys over there, everybody involved. I told you, boy. I get one of my friends. Jan knows him. One of our big clients wanted to play Olympia Fields, right? So, okay, I get the guy in Olympia Fields. And afterward, he went home, thankfully. But, of course, we didn't. We went to the bar. And the guy who got us on, he was a member, even though he didn't play with us, is this guy who used to have been a priest over in Korea.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, he goes, I love America. He says, but if you go anywhere else in the world, you realize that the America you love is nothing more than an armed advance of big corporations that want to make money. I'm going, there is a point of view. That was 20 years ago. Now I'm thinking, I'm not so sure he's that spot on.
Well, yeah, but see, here's the thing. All of this, when we're doing this overseas, we don't see the blowback from it directly, right? I mean,
we don't, but somebody does somewhere.
Well, I'm not... Yeah. Duh.
I mean, you and I don't, but somebody's living over there does.
Well, the guy who's over there gets his house blown up, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is that we did, and he might be in it when it happens, or his kids and wife. But here's the thing. This is not just limited to there. If you look at, for example, the history of what happened ultimately in the 1860s, right? And then you look at the response. We had an active civil war going on, all right, which, by the way, was stupid, all right. Slavery was dying for economic reasons. It was, for all intents and purposes, on life support at that point. When petroleum came in, it was doomed, simply because it was no longer an economic thing to do, all right. And yet, even though we had all this going on in the United States at the time, we had an election to confirm whether or not the people of the United States wanted to continue fighting an extraordinarily bloody war that was blowing up everyone's crap and killing people. We didn't kill... I mean, now, there were concerns at the time, all right? We didn't cancel that election.
No.
Lincoln was reelected... All right, which is a confirmation that even though we have an active war going on and our guys are getting blown up and their guys are getting blown up and people are dying of dysentery and, you know, all kinds of horrible things because, of course, we didn't have antibiotics or anything. So if you got shot in the gut, you were pretty much done. And all of this is happening. He's reelected anyway. Okay. And then, interestingly enough, after he's assassinated... His VP got impeached because he opposed protecting the former slaves constitutionally. Now, he wasn't convicted and removed, but he was impeached.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Jan, what the Civil War stuff, that is, if you go back and read any of that stuff, it almost sickens you, doesn't it? You know what's funny? This is going to make a... I don't want anybody to take this kind of the wrong way. Matter of fact, boy, I don't know if I even want to say it, but with the import of at the time of some of the Irish workers, and certainly of the Asian workers on the West Coast, and I think when you mentioned slavery was kind of doomed, as horrible as it was, I actually think it was more expensive to own a slave than it was to have 50 people from China start blowing gunpowder in the Sierra Nevadas for the railroad, and 40 of them die, just kick them off to the side.
We're as pure as the driven snow or that which the dog just took a...
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is that what I have a problem with is that people want, first off, they want to whitewash this. They don't want to deal with it, okay? And then this Kennedy stuff is going to be interesting to see what exactly comes out of it. It is pretty clear to me that there were interests both outside the United States and inside the United States, including within our own government, that were involved in his assassination. Now, exactly how involved, I don't know.
Let me ask one question, though. The name that keeps coming up, and I know he was head of the CIA, and there's an airport named after him. Jan, you know this history. What was the history of Dulles? I don't know anything about the guy. The name was Bay of Pigs his idea, or he went along with it? I know Bush 1 was one of the big architects of it. But where does Dulles sit in all this? Does nobody know?
Well, he was head of the CIA when the Bay of Pigs was concocted.
Did he come in and all of a sudden it was all planned, or was it his idea, I guess is my question.
It predated Kennedy's inauguration, right. I think, by some time. So, it was within, say, 6 or 8 months, probably before the disastrous invasion. But Dulles was already, and his brother had been Secretary of State under Eisenhower, John Foster.
Oh, so it wasn't like he was a Kennedy appointee and this was a surprise to him, too. He was there the whole time. Okay.
Yeah, Chief, the reason that I wanted to jump into this and I didn't like immediately go off on a different direction. So this has been a part of the United States for a very long time. But we have now gotten to the point where we've run out of other people to bend over the table and take a turn at them with a cactus. Okay? To a large degree we've run out of that. So what have we done? Our corporations, with the full knowledge and consent of our government, have wildly violated our immigration laws. All right. I don't know if you heard this, but just in the last few days...
Carl, in their mind, they haven't violated anything. The laws don't apply to them.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
All right. So just a few days ago, there was a plant down in Georgia that was raided that was full of illegal invaders who were working there. A large plant. All right, fine. So Holman goes in and he raids a place. The executives, under the existing law that's been in place since the 1950s, 8 U.S.C. 1324, every person in management that knew about that gets 5 years in the slammer. And yet not one of those people was let out in handcuffs. Not one. All right? Now, and by the way, I don't want to hear any excuses from the people on the right about, Trump doesn't have his team yet. Guess what? Pam Bondi had already been confirmed when this happened. All right? So there's the attorney general who could turn around and issue the indictments. That's the end of the conversation. Those people need to go to prison right effing now. All right?
Kyle, we're going the other way on this, bud.
Guess what?
We're only going after people we don't like, and that's on both sides.
Guess what? The same crap has been going on out in Silicon Valley. You've got 750,000 Americans with STEM degrees that are not working. They're couch surfing. We talk about this every month in the jobs report. And at the same time, I got 500,000 H-1Bs in here from India.
Yeah.
Well, now, explain that one to me.
Well, plus you got how many people are just working from home in India.
I'm saying, explain that one to me in a way that, and by the way, that's illegal under the statute that created the H-1B visas. It's a criminal felony to lie because you are lying on a government form when you say that you in fact diligently searched for Americans to do this job and there weren't any. And yet, and by the way, you also have to certify you haven't laid anybody off.
Carl, nobody, we talk about this like a lot. I don't appreciate it at all either, right? From the lower end. Now you're locked in Tennessee and Jan's locked up on the north side. He doesn't get out much. All you gotta do is drive around. There is no law that people feel should apply to them right now. It's endemic.
Look, Chief, I understand this, but look, how long have I been yelling about the medical scams, which, by the way, all of that crap's been illegal for 100 years.
Without a doubt. Okay? Does anybody Carl, nobody, one of these days, the three of us aren't going to be around, and you're going to walk some player and you're going to say, what about this Sherman Act? They're going to look at you like you got 12 heads.
Okay. Well, guess what? This also now, all right, you want to know how deeply, you know, people are always like, well, you know, this is just some car plant in Georgia that, you know, it doesn't really impact me. It's just these guys in Tennessee doing, you know, whatever with, you know, they were making meth with precursors that were coming in from China. It doesn't really impact me because I wasn't smoking the meth, right? And I haven't had a meth head break into my house and, you know, steal all my crap yet. So therefore, it's not that big a deal. All right. Well, guess what? Over the last 5 years, we had the same corruption, all right, show up when this little virus shows up in America, right? Which, by the way, we were a big part of creating, including one of our research universities, was in it up to their nuts.
And nothing's ever going to happen to them.
And by the way, it is now from a paper published out through Yale. These are some of the best epidemiologists in the world. We now know where all the turbo cancer and all the endothelial damage and everything else has come from. We know exactly what caused it. They found it. It is essentially induced AIDS without HIV, but it is immune damage. It's progressively worse with time, which means it's not going to go away.
Right, start from every one of the people. Is this from having COVID or from the shots?
No, this is from the shots.
Yep.
Okay. And this is something that we knew was a potential problem because the Salk Institute published a paper on it in December of 2020 before the shots were rolled out. I wrote an article on it. I was called a lunatic. I was thrown off social media for it. That blacklisting continues today. I was just suspended off X again. I'm done with them. I'm done with Elon and his crap because he's a part of this, just like everybody else.
He wants to be he doesn't want to be censored. He wants to be the censor.
Well, of course he's the censor. He owns the site. He can do what he wants with his property, okay? And I respect that. But as a result, I have banned any mention, any backlink to his property from my equipment. You do it, you lose your account. And I've been very public about it. I'm not, unlike him, sniveling around the corners, doing it behind people's back and silently and allowing people to form mobs, which, by the way, every social media site has a backdoor API to report posts and get people thrown off. Google does it. Meta does it. X does it. They all do it. I've caught them. I have documentary proof of it. All right.
But you can still, you have your own site.
Well, yeah, but you know, but then, all right, so you have this, and you know why and here's the thing, everyone says that this is all about selling advertising. It is not. If you want to shape opinion, what is the best way to do it? And it is to bribe somebody to tilt the conversation, okay? Now, this is something that America has done an awful lot of over the years.
We have got a new group of people. And Jen, feel free
to now comment. Now it's just a different group.
No. We got a new group of people that on their worst day would never consider buying the newspaper so you can pay the reporters so people actually can do their job. Nobody feels they have to do that. Of course, the paper's what? What's a Sunday paper? John, $5? Something ridiculous?
Well, okay, all right. So
but nobody wants to pay for anything that are.
Chief, I understand that, but the Biden administration paid billions of dollars to Reuters on invoices that were marked as psychological operations aimed at the American people.
My doctor got a letter from the people in Illinois that if she said anything against the COVID vaccines, they were going to take her license.
Well, yeah, and you know what? You want to know what else happened, which we've also got documentary proof of. The health insurers were bribing doctors for vaccine rate compliance.
Yep.
Okay, which, by the way, is a felony. And anyone who says it's not,
I tell you what, and Jen, you hanging around, I'm going to say you're hanging around drugstores more than me. It sounds awful. Did anybody get, I don't know of anybody who got a shot from their doctor.
No, they all went to Walgreens or whatever.
Yeah, see, right. I mean,
you, where it was free. Quote. You know?
Well, that's right. It was free for you to get stabbed.
But yeah, did they even give the stuff to doctors?
I mean, yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. But the problem was that you had to have refrigeration equipment that could keep it at the appropriate temperatures, which was expensive. Most physicians' offices did not have that because that stuff costs a lot of money, and what else are you going to use it for? And so that's the reason that most of the distribution went to those other parties.
I went to my doctor, and he gave me the test for the antibodies.
Right.
But now I don't know.
Well, I had those.
But I don't know if you could do that at you couldn't have done that at Walgreens, could you?
Well, if you could get somebody to order it, the problem is that I mean, I had sources that, you know, got them through the back door, if you will. It's not illegal to possess them, but you could not walk in somewhere and buy one because our government decided that you couldn't do that. Now, what I had advocated for very early on in the early part of 2020 was that we needed to do serological surveys doing that. And since they're finger sticks like you'd use for blood glucose tests, this is something, and they were $1 a piece to make in quantity too, if that much.
Well, when they took mine, they did the blood out of the elbow or out of the vein.
There's that fractionalates, so you can look at the difference between vaccination versus infection, because there's different kinds of antibodies. There's one to the N protein, which is not in the vaccines. If you've got antibodies to that, you've had the disease.
Okay? Yeah, well, that's what I had, the disease. It was before.
Well, that's
the
what
shot.
I'm saying. That's the only way you could get it. Okay. Now I had the finger stick test. Those do not differentiate, but I knew I had not had it up until I got it, because I had been taking them every few months and they kept coming back negative. And as soon as I got infected, it rings positive. So I knew, and I also knew I hadn't been stabbed. So I knew exactly how I got the antibodies.
Hey,
I got it.
I would like to, can we change the thing before I forget it? Janet, did you read the thing I sent you yesterday about what's the guy's name? The guy with all the little boys, Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh yeah,
Jan, did you get a chance to read that?
I haven't read it yet, Tom.
Okay, what about? I just give a quick summary. I was bouncing along looking for the latest Cub trade on YouTube, doing the stupid stuff I do, and I see this thing about Epstein. Now, you know, YouTube's got stuff on there that people have things and
a lot of it's crap.
A lot of it's crap, but I listened to this, and of course I go, wait a minute, I gotta ask Carl about this. Because there's not because, you know, I'm going to do anything to these people, but which probably we should, duh, Carl. But the Epstein had some island. Was it St. James the Little or some
little? He bought both.
Yeah,
but he was blocked in developing the larger one because he damaged some coral at some point, and
yeah,
the government
they
got
let
all
him.
Pissed off. Well, the government got all pissed off, which they do when you do that.
But he ended up. You could land the plane there, right? But you had to take. Then you had to take a ferry over to the little island where all the stuff was taken.
That was where all the stuff was, right?
But the moral of the story is, or not the moral, but the information. And I'll just set this out there for John and the rest of you, and then we'll let Carl take over because he knows more about it. Is evidently somebody somewhere, and there's a couple of companies that somehow you can access into people's locations on their cell phone.
Yep.
And again, I'm gonna stumble through this like every man, and then Carl can take over. But and Jan, you can listen to me and come up with some questions. And they show pictures of all these people landing, and there's a red dot thing. Look at like the dot plot of the Fed. There's a red dot thing showing everybody landing on the one island, and then they show all the bleeps on the ferry going over to the other island. And they can trace all these people back to their cell phone numbers, except for, now this came from some site that had nothing to do with going after this guy, somehow or another. But the weird part is, if you live in Europe, the controls they have on the cell phone, nobody can get traced back to Europe because Europe doesn't allow it to happen. But now these guys went to the U.S. map, and you'll be happy to know, Jen, none of the bleeps were from Chicago. There were four or five from Detroit, a bunch from Washington, a bunch from New York, and a bunch from like Dallas and then some from L.A. Because they traced all the people where they went after they were on this island. And the guy said you actually could trace the numbers, but they weren't going to do that on YouTube because I guess they'd get in trouble. But so, Carl, who are these companies, and how is that stuff just – where do they find it? It's like years later.
Right. So this is, well, it's not just years later. This is the big thing about this. So one of the problems that we have in this, in the United States, and I've talked about this a lot, is that you, when you have a cell phone, inherently you are carrying a little tracking device around in your pocket. And in order for it to work, the network, meaning the phone companies, always knows where you are. It knows what tower you're on, and on top of that, it also knows the neighboring ones that you can see. And that data has to be at the carrier, because without it, it doesn't work. Okay?
Analog didn't do that, right?
Oh, yes, it did.
Oh, it did. Okay, right.
All the way back to amps. Okay, all the way back to the original systems. And it has to. If you think about it, as you're driving down the road, the signal starts getting weaker and weaker, right? Because you get further and further away from the antenna at the, you know, on the tower, right? Before it disappears, before you lose that signal, the systems at the phone company have to make the decision, okay, which is the next closest tower, the one that's getting stronger instead of weaker, and switch the call onto that one, all right? Otherwise, you're in the middle of the call and it drops. So this is inherently information and processing that has to happen all the time. The thing is, it's relatively coarse-grained, right? It's not very precise. It's accurate within, depending on where you are, if you're way out in the middle of BF nowhere, it's accurate within a couple of miles. If you're in a downtown area, it might be accurate within a couple thousand feet, all right? Still, that's pretty good, right? Now, that is information that they always have. That's bad enough, but what's worse, that is their information. That is the phone company's information. So if the cops show up with a warrant, they absolutely will get it. Now, the system can be told to triangulate you quite precisely, but people say that the phone companies are doing it all the time. That's BS, and the reason is it's very disruptive to the network in order to do that, because you now have to transmit from multiple towers at once in order to get that direction finding signal and timing back. That means you can't be using that channel for somebody else. So now all of a sudden you're consuming 3, 4, 5 times as much resource as you would be not doing it. And the phone company is not going to do that on a routine basis. I mean, that totally blows up their ideas of how they engineer things. So, but they will if the government comes to them and asks. But what's worse is that since shortly after cell phones start showing up, when the digital ones start showing up, not the original bag phones, but when the digital ones start showing up with apps on them, they all have a GPS chip in them. Not only that, they have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth receivers and transmitters in them as well. And all of the different companies map. So Google, when they drive around with their Street View stuff, they have their cars, you know, if you go onto maps and you say you want to look at satellite, it's not really just satellite, all right? They actually send, I mean, if you drill down far enough, you actually get view of someone's house.
Yeah, you get the front view, not the satellite view.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, and how did they do that? Well, they had a car that drove down your street with a camera on it. All right? So, but here's the nasty about that. It wasn't just a camera. It also had a radio receiver in it, and it maps all the Wi-Fi spots and all the Bluetooth emitters that it sees. And so these companies all have that database. Now, what ends up happening with your cell phone is that anytime you use an application that wants to know where you are, like, for example, find me cheap gas close to my location when you're traveling, Gas Buddy, it gets your location, and then it has a map of where the gas stations are, okay? It's a simple math problem, right? Where are they? Show me in the, you know, closest to furthest away. Well, the app has that information now, your exact location by GPS. That belongs to the application. It gets sent back to their central service. It's not just held on your machine.
If I have my location thing off on the phone, does that help me at all?
Yes. However, the problem is it has to be actually off on the phone. If you just say only give it to the app when the app's running, Google stuff has access to it anytime it wants because it's on, the chipset is powered up in the phone.
Well, I have mine off. Google keeps asking me to turn it on. I keep saying no.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah.
And by the way, Apple does the same thing. All right.
Now, but who's the company that these guys got all this information from.
Oh, there's... Listen, you remember the thing with NDB? Has all the Social Security numbers and all that stuff, right? I looked yours up.
Yeah. Right?
Okay, mine's in there too, by the way. So both my dead parents. So there, these... What makes you... Gas Buddy, as an example, again, all right, they're one of the worst offenders in this regard. They've been caught multiple times. That's why I have no problem using their name.
Well, who are the guys in the thing I sent you? I forgot. It was you.
All right, so what happens is this. What makes you think that these companies actually give you something for free, that is locating the cheapest close gas to you? You didn't pay them.
Gas station probably did.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
What they did was they took that information and they sell it to people. Okay. All of them. All these apps do that. Meta does it. Facebook does it. X does it. Instagram does it. All these different companies take all this correlation information. You don't really think that Meta is worth $1 trillion because you post cute pictures of your cat, do you?
But how valuable is it?
Well,
obviously it is, but I mean, I'm...
Chief, that depends on how much data you have. If it's a small amount from a few people, it's not worth much. But if it's every single phone in America and every minute of your day, do you what do you think State Farm would pay for that?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think they would be real interested in knowing that at 5 o'clock every day you go to the pub and 3 hours later you drive home?
Yeah, better not know that.
Do you think they don't?
I don't know. Maybe they...
They most certainly do.
Okay.
And oh, by the way, this is exactly how you can pay somebody, one of these brokers, for the information. Well, it allows you to run the correlation analysis to know who's at Little St.
All right,
James.
So what is all right, so we've got the names of all these people, or somebody does. And
yeah.
Nobody cares. Nobody goes after them. All right, but also,
well, that's right,
Jan. When you look at this, what does Europe do differently, where nobody knows where anybody is in Europe?
Europe has a law called GDPR. All right. Now, since my systems, I have AdSense advertising, which is Google stuff, on some of my areas on my forum. When GDPR was passed, I had to go in there and set a data policy within AdSense where they would not serve any advertising. Now, almost everyone on my site is from the United States. Okay, that reads my stuff. But there's a few people that do. If I did not set that policy, Google would not show any advertising to any IP address that traced to the EU. Why? Because it was illegal.
Okay.
So I had to declare what I collected, from whom, under what circumstances, and what I would do with it, all right, including whether or not I would sell it to third parties. Now, I don't collect any of that. I don't collect location. I don't collect PII other than internal tracking information that my system uses in order to figure out what you've already looked at, okay, so it doesn't show you the same article twice. And I don't sell it to anyone, and explicitly in my terms of service, I state that that stuff, I mean, now, if someone shows up with a subpoena, they're going to get it, right?
Right, so the people who, all the blips and all the U.S. map, somebody essentially paid for, and you can't do that over in Europe.
That's, well, you can, but people have to give explicit consent, which they won't. You can do it over there with consent, but you have to explicitly, you cannot opt people out. People have to explicitly give you permission.
Why do you suppose nobody from Chicago was invited to Epstein's Island?
Well, maybe they weren't important enough, I suppose, or maybe the people that were important enough didn't like little girls.
They had much more crazies from Detroit and Dallas than from Chicago.
Well, you know, I do not believe that data... By the way, the data is not complete.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, they pretty much said that, but...
It's not complete, but it is correct.
I will say this, though. The trail, John, when you look at it, you'll see this trail leaving from the ferry dock at the one island to the other one. The thing is just a blur of red dots of all these people's phone.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Well, I probably it's a lot to do with trafficking patterns, and perhaps places as close to borders like Dallas or Detroit. There might be, you know, a reason for why there's more activity in those sites, rather than.
Well, there weren't that many people in the U.S. There might have been. Yeah. There might have been. What'd you say, Carl? 50 or 100 dots? It wasn't like there were 10,000 people who went to this island. It was pretty.
No. But then again, you know, I mean, you had to be someone of some interest to him in order to, you know, to get invited, right?
Yeah. Plus, you had how do you get down to the Big Island? Did you have to have your own plane, or was there a plane that got you?
Well, no, you could. I mean, you know, you're not that far away from from commercial service availability.
I don't really like. I was down in the Bahamas once. I don't want to go back. I mean, it was okay.
I was, this stuff was just. I mean, large part of this is just. None of this surprises me. All right, when you really get down to it, none of it surprises me at all. But that people were, that we've hidden this. And by the way, our Congress has. There's an awful lot of people connected to our Congress that are in this, up to their necks.
Well,
and it's been blocked. The release of it's been blocked within our Congress.
Wayne, you know, the guy who was on yesterday, Wayne Manson, he used to be on the show more of years ago. Remember the whole, John, you remember the Denny Hastert story?
Oh, yeah.
I still, to this day, why, when the guy was older and sick, why they outed the guy? I don't understand why.
He wasn't useful anymore.
But yeah. He also was going downhill so fast. That was he, anyway... He he's in Washington, and Jen, who was the speaker before him? Was it Newt?
Yeah.
So this guy Hastert.
Briefly, wasn't it Montgomery or something? There's somebody else in there.
Somebody else is in there. I can't remember. So all of a sudden he gets this spot. I know, and I'm not the political guru in Illinois like Jen is, but I'm sitting there going, how the hell could a guy from Illinois be elected speaker? And I never heard the guy's name. I mean, I'm not that far out of the loop, but. So the guy, he's in there, right? And I'm going, who the hell is this guy? It seemed like everybody just kind of got out of the way. And I remember meeting Dan Rostenkowski on a few occasions with the CBOE stuff I was doing. And Dan was a big, independent, big Polish guy that basically you couldn't push around, you know? And I think people just didn't want it. And then when he got booted out for stamps, you know,
yeah.
And somebody's going to say, I'm sitting there going, for stamps? How the hell do you... How do you boot a guy out for stamps with all the other crap that's going on? Well, you know, all the stuff overseas that we talk about all the time. How do you boot a guy out for stamps? Anyway, so he's gone. I mean, he wasn't a speaker, but he was a powerful guy. And I'm thinking, somebody booted him out, and now his Hastert is in there. I wonder what his story is. And I'm thinking the guy's in there, and he's doing something. Well, Wayne said the people in... Wayne was in... I think he was in NSA, then he worked for... I don't know, it was the Post or someplace. He goes, a lot of people knew Hastert's story. That he was controlled by somebody, and that he had this issue with young boys.
I go,
Wayne, how the hell did you know that? He goes, well, everybody in Washington looks at all this stuff, right? And if you're in the Senate, I don't know about the House, Jen. If you get two, I won't use the term boondoggles. There's two trips a year that everybody can go on, and they're congressional junket, I guess is the name. So if I've never been to say Israel. Okay, I can get on one of these things and go to Israel and get the tour and go to the Golan Heights, see what the hell I'm talking about. And then the next year I maybe could go to, you know, I don't know if I want to go to Yemen, but there's stuff all over the place. And you get to go to a couple of these a year. And Wayne goes, he always went, one of his was always to Thailand with this other guy from California.
Funny that.
And he goes, why would anybody want to go to Thailand every year except they have a lot of young girls and boys available? And so people were already sort of onto him. And I'm sitting there going, okay, now who, the person who essentially slid him into that spot, for lack of a better description, John, you're better with words, help me here, who slid him into that spot, I use the term had something on him. Is that a South Side? That's what I worry about, and I hope I'm wrong.
You're not.
With the Russians and Trump. Because there's an awful lot of a backlog there of money flying back and forth. And I'm hoping he was totally on the straight and narrow. They just paid their rent and that was it. I mean, and that they never went to some party where there's a picture of them doing something wrong. I honestly hope that's the case. But, I mean, clearly, whoever put Denny Hastert there had a string on him, wouldn't you say, John?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and it's... this is, you know, the honeypot, you know, story. This this is, you know, intertwined, you know, there's masters at raising this to a high art, you know, where you have complete blackmailability. This is what Epstein was all about,
yeah,
as far as right. I can tell.
Right.
You know, it was about getting the dirt on people that they wanted to expose when they needed to either cut ties or to extort some kind of, you know, behavior or payoff or whatever down the road. And Epstein was there to get close to people and film everything they were doing in his house. And
oh yeah, so Chief, just out of curiosity, why do you think nobody has ever gone to jail for employing illegals, and nobody's ever gone to jail for the $2 trillion worth of robbery that happens every year within the medical system? And oh, by the way, in the article I put up this morning, you know, we now know that there was something like $7 trillion worth of Treasury spending that didn't have an appropriation line in the voucher system to charge that against in the GL. So every one of those, if you have $100 million appropriated by Congress for a particular thing, and there is no way for you to know that you didn't spend $400 million unless you have the offsetting account on the appropriation in the GL. So when you get to 100, the system says, sorry, no more check, because the balance on the other side of that line is zero. You can't have any more money. Well, guess what? We got $7 trillion that got thrown out over the last number
we've
of
got,
years.
I'm going to...
Chief, in...
I'm going to say that I don't have any problem with the audits.
I know you say it's de minimis, but in 2016...
I didn't say it was de minimis. I'm saying I'm never going to believe a number out of Musk or Trump.
Okay, well, guess what? How about on the Senate Budget Committee in 2016 that said that 8% of the spending was against expired programs, and an expired program has an approved appropriation of zero?
How does the money come out if it's expired? Who
because the there's no trace in the Treasury to stop it. The other side of the GL account is
not there. I tell you
what,
if there's no trace, how come we can't get any money out of them?
Well, all I'm telling you is what they found.
If this is so easy, why aren't we rich?
The reason all of this inflation, all of this crap.
I blame Flanagan. He's not clever enough. I blame Jack.
Listen, all this stuff. If you want to know where all of this comes from, it's right there, and it's intentional, and it's on both sides of the aisle.
Well, without a doubt, they're all rich. I mean, you asked why we can't...
By the way, the Treasury Secretary, along with all the employees that are doing this, have a legal responsibility not to pay against an appropriation that either doesn't exist because the program's expired or in excess of the appropriated amount. Every single invoice that went through that system that violated one of those two constraints is a felony.
John,
it's theft of taxpayer funds.
It may come as a shock to you, but Carl's probably not on the list of people want on their boards tomorrow.
I also did not get an invite to the Christmas party.
nor were you invited to Davos, nor were you invited to Jackson Hole.
What I was, though, Chief, was blackballed off all the major media sites because I started calling this crap out back in 08 when the banks all blew up.
Jan, let's make this easier. Carl, where have you been invited? Any
well,
place?
I'd have
a drink with you. I don't know if John would show up. You know, he'd be
you
doing
know
something
what?
Else.
It's like Groucho. I would not want to be a member of a club that would accept me. You know?
Well, there you go. But you know what? I'm still welcome at the local pub. Okay.
I mean, I'm gonna. Well, you know what? There's few things that are constant in life. You throw money, they throw you a drink, no matter where it is. Right.
Well, that's true.
I've seen just a little bit of this. Carl, and you know, I'm not, and John, I'm sure he has too. But when I was on the board of the SIBO, and there were, I'm going to say it was about as clean an organization, and the people there were about as nice as you could find. But we had our issues, right? And
well, everybody does.
But I'm saying, but part of the enforcement is, who are you going to enforce stuff to? Okay,
right.
And now if you have a market maker, if you got Jan Flanagan that goes over position limit. You know, 3 days in a row, even if it's 15 contracts, it doesn't make any difference to anybody. John's going to be considered a recidivist. How's that for a word this time of the morning? John, I bet you didn't know. I know I knew that one. That he'd be a recidivist, which means what a guy who's what a doesn't care about the system and doesn't pay attention to the rules.
Right, goes back to jail after the first term.
Yeah. So he's a recidivist, and we'll spank him out by the horse. We don't care. I mean, what happens to John? Because he's at our level, and we can go after him, and it's okay. But now, if you reach up to where somebody from a firm, and this didn't happen very often, but it did, where somebody will come in from a firm where they'd want to facilitate an order, maybe they want to take the other half. So in other words, you know, we never did this at PTI. Like a big shot like Carl would come in and say, I want to do this order, I want to buy this spread, I want to buy the, you know, the September something calls and sell the June calls. And what do I think I got to pay for that? I might go, gee, Carl, looks like you got to pay 8.5 for that one. Well, I didn't go out and get a market there. Okay, I'm going to say it looks to me like you got to pay 8.5. But I know what sort of where the markets are on the screen.
Right.
Now, if I go out there and I say, we want to buy this spread 1,000 times, we're going to pay 8.5, but we want to do half. We're going to facilitate it. And the crowd might say, well, that's interesting. We're at 8.25.
Right.
Now, 1,000 times 25 bucks, a lot of money, right? Last time I checked.
Yeah.
And the guy would say, let me help you. You guys get half, and we're going to put this up at 8.5.
Yeah.
This sort of started to happen. And I was always outraged because I always thought, in which I always got beat up about, that the CBOE's customer was you and that the other people were the distribution system. CBOE to their, I think, well, they got good stock in their stuff now, but they always had that confused. The member firms always beat up on the CBO that they were the customer, not the end user. I know I'm going too far with this. But the bottom line is, if you were to go out there and say, wait a minute, pick a name, you know, from the past, say a Lehman Brothers did this, it becomes amazingly tricky to bring this one up if you're sitting in a board meeting next to the guy from Lehman Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now, he brings, at the time he could bring that, well, originally he could only bring the order here for certain stocks, but then it became competitive, okay, with the Amex and between the Pecos. Well, now, enforcement of the rules became part of the competitive package.
Right.
Or shall we say lack of enforcement of the rules. I can't imagine what it would be like, even for, if he wanted to, Trump's new attorney general, maybe having a meeting with some congressmen, if they ever do that, and say, look, we've been talking to this guy, Carl, we've been listening to Stocks and Jacks. The amount of money we're pissing away in this medical community by essentially out-and-out fraud. And fraud, when I use that term, I mean it's a crime. I mean, we got people that are charging 2 and 3 different prices at these hospitals, which right. means that you have to have insurance. I mean, the whole thing is screwed up, like we've talked about forever. Every one of those guys is going to get a pain right where their wallet is in their ass pocket going, wait a minute. Those people just gave me a lot of money last year. You can't.
Well, that's right.
You can't. I mean, I don't know how you start this, Carl. I mean, but my concern
well,
is.
The way you start it is that you take a meat axe to all the people that are doing it.
But who's. That person's not alive yet, and it's not going to be Trump. He'll beat up on government employees, but I've seen. He's not going to have the balls to go to these other people. He did in his first term. I hope he does.
Listen, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, what the excuse has been from all the people that are saying, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. It's why he doesn't have his whole team yet. Well, now he does.
It's not going to happen.
Okay, now he does because now he's got Patel as well.
So I don't think I don't even think he knows what we're talking about. He's a might makes right kind of guy. I hope I'm wrong.
Chief, you are wrong that he doesn't know. And the reason I know that is because during his first term, right after he was elected, if you recall, there were 3 line items on his campaign website that specifically went to this issue within the medical system. All 3 disappeared on election night.
Really?
I had some people that I know. I mean, I still know some people in D.C., fewer today than I did, you know, 8 years ago, but I still do.
That's because they've been culled.
Well, yeah, you know, they seem to have lost their influence and money, right?
They're now in the gulag with the guy that...
Well, or they're sitting down in Florida saying, F you sucking down Mai Tais on a beach, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the two. But the you know, some of them probably in the Key West gay bar, too. You know, there's a lot of really squirrely, weird stuff. But the point being that there was supposed to be... There were people within his transition team that said that they wanted me to come out there and basically brief them on this because they knew about leverage. They knew about my article on fixing the healthcare system. They knew it was there. And, of course, Obamacare was a big feature of the 2016 campaign. I was one of the – remember, they were going to repeal it until McCain stopped it, right? So, you know, it was going to go away. But then, you know, all of a sudden, once he got, you know, how many, what was it, 100 votes to repeal it when they knew it would never pass, and they had Obama that, of course, would never sign the law, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they knew that it was a safe vote to take to say, oh, this sucks. But, you know, but only because it would never actually get enacted. So then all of a sudden, oops, now we've got a Republican House, Republican Senate, and, right? So, yeah, now we can actually do it. And of course, then it doesn't happen.
Well, you can't, you got nothing to fall back on.
If you start prosecuting people and you took a meat axe to the pricing, it wouldn't matter because now all of a sudden I could just afford to pay for it.
Carl, we can't stop somebody from 100 miles an hour down the Rhine. How the hell are we going to break up the medical establishment?
Chief, you break it up and then what you do. So I address this. Well, what do you do if you don't have any money, you don't have any insurance? I addressed this in the thing that I published a decade ago on this, which is that if you are an American, first off, if you're not an American citizen, you're entitled to zero. Go to any other country in the world and try to run this bullshit that we put up within the United States where illegal immigrants show up in a hospital.
I will make it, but I mean...
Doesn't work.
Okay, but I'll make a prediction, and this is... I hope this doesn't pan out, but the... Hillary tried to... The healthcare system, in my opinion... When Clinton got in office, was totally falling apart.
Yes, it was.
And so Hillary tried to do something. I have no idea if it was a good idea, bad idea. I'll say bad idea just because I know who I'm on with.
It was terrible.
Okay, all right. So we didn't do it.
Right.
So then Bush is there for 8 years, totally ignored it.
Right.
And then Obama comes in and he comes up with a solution that I think by all accounts had some theory behind it, but the execution... was so bad, and it didn't address costs. So let's just say it could have been done 90% better. I'll roll with you guys on that. But now all of a sudden, then we have Trump comes in, doesn't do anything. All the Republicans do is bitch about it. And
right.
then Biden's in there, didn't really do much either. I'm going to say if Trump's there for 4, and his vice president is there for another 8... If the three of us are still doing the show together, which I hope we will be, it's alive and healthy, I'm going to say the Republicans will never address it in 12 years, and I can't even imagine what it's going to look like.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to end up happening is it's going to collapse the federal government's funding model, and it's going to collapse the economy. And since you run assets for people, okay, and by the way, you cannot earn your way out of the inflationary deficit that we have and grow your way out of it, and the reason is very simple. If you take a look at the employment report, only about half of the population in the United States works. Okay, that's the employed number, right? We know what the population number, not the non-institutional population, the whole population, only about half the population works. They're the people who can have their wages go up as part of this work your way out of it thing, right? The other two groups are those who, if you're retired, you're in this group. Even if all you're getting is Social Security, you're in this group. You are living on an asset stream, okay? You are living on the return of capital from that asset stream. That's what you're doing. I'm in that group because I mostly don't work these days. I do every now and then, but, you know, I mean, if you look at the 90 percentile of where my income comes from, that's where it comes from. So, but this is all the way down to the person with no trading accounts, no stock exposure, simply on Social Security. They're in that same group. And then you have the third group, which, and by the way, that second group is large. It's about half of the remainder, about 25%. And most, 95% of those people, their largest asset is their house.
Well, and their 401k to a certain extent.
Not 95%.
Right.
You deal with the 1% or the 2% at the top of that pile, okay? You deal with a small percentage of those people, and by the way, that is most. If you're drawing a pension, you're living on assets. If you're drawing Social Security, you're living on assets. That's the way it is. And then you got the third group, which has no assets and no job. And if you do not keep them up to date with the inflationary expansion, they burn your city and kill everybody because they starve. And well, they're not going to...
Why do you think I'm so...
Keith, you can't...
Right, we're running out. Why do you think I'm so concerned about the stock market value and house value? Because the asset increase, I don't want to use the term bubble, the asset is the only stool we've got going. What do you think these employment numbers are going to look like next month?
Look, we have gone over center on this. The market right now is whistling past the corpse. Right? It's not even the graveyard. The corpse is laying on the ground rotting, and they're whistling past it. Did you see the thing that came out of Satya Nadella? Why aren't we spending billions of dollars on AI? He said the magic words. Basically, it's smoke. What's been propping up the market for the last 3 years?
You know my opinion. The money coming into the system is propping the market. It's always just a new excuse every day.
It's a question of where it goes. Right?
Well, but I'm saying it for a while. It was China. Then it was a cloud. There's always some excuse for stuff to be overvalued.
Oh, I know. But I all I'm saying is this stuff. If anyone that thinks, you know, everyone wants to go after the Dow G thing, and you know they're taking a meat axe to this and that and everything. Well, if we don't take a meat axe to the federal government's budget, right here, right now, and the only place you're going to manage to get enough out of it, I mean, you know, $10 billion here, $10 billion there, yeah, it's a lot of money, but it's not going to change the trajectory. The only place you can change your trajectory is in the medical field, and if you do it, the screaming is going to be unbelievable. But if you don't do it, and Trump tries to delay this...
Screaming, we'll talk about more on this on Tuesday. Jan, thank you, by the way, and we'll have our usual on Monday. I'm not so sure. I have put this way, Carol and Jan, I've reached the age where some people that I know have been in hospitals recently, and I've kind of followed it, and I care about them. And
yeah,
you could cut this fee in half, and the care wouldn't go down. There's that much care.
Well, that's right.
It's scary.
Actually, if you fix this problem, the cost would go down by 80%.
But of course,
the recession that would be produced by that would be enormous because all that money is getting spent.
It's going. You know what? In terms of how we count money these days, one of these days, Jen, I'd love to have you on with Carl. Let's talk about how the money is counted. I mean, I did a class at a two-quarter course at the University of Chicago, History of Economic Thought. And it went through every how things are counted, how certain people, an agrarian society goes to industrial society, how you would expect certain numbers to move, and how sometimes you don't gain anything. You just if you and I, Carl and Jan, all three of us hate each other. We're farmers, right?
Right.
But I'm better at corn. You're better at cows, and Jan's better at chickens. And we all, even though we don't like each other, we flip the finger with one hand, but we hand over to the chicken, and I get my milk from you and something else. I mean, none of that's counted. Now, all of a sudden, if we really get pissed off and we decide to sell it downtown so I get to sell my milk and you come buy it, now all of a sudden this has got counted three times.
Right.
So it's all about how you – I don't think with what they're doing with the money right now, I think we could find a way to cut the overhead at Northwestern University by hospital by 50%. I don't know if we'd affect care at all. I mean, it would affect the numbers.
You'd also affect all the people though that got fired.
I went. One of the guys in my guys is in the Shirley Ryan Institute. He's doing rehab, right? There's a 10th floor place. Jan, have you ever been there? There's a 10th floor.
Yeah.
Carol, the floor has got to be how many thousand square feet? There's a desk in the middle with three people sitting there.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
What?
But you know, but you know what?
There could be 50 rooms there. There's nobody.
Chief, here's the thing. The enablement of all this fraud, when it flows through the federal government, is deliberate. The ability to do referential integrity on databases has existed since the 1980s. I on free software since the early 1990s because I re-implemented MCSNet's accounting system and customer management system in Postgres in the 1990s, and you didn't have to pay a nickel for it. Now, Oracle had it long before then, but we had it for free. So for the last 30 years, this has been a deliberate decision. And the federal government has more money than God. So don't give me this crap about how they couldn't pay for the storage and everything to do it. Yes, of course they could. They have more money than anybody else.
We don't know. When you talk about these places downtown, Northwestern University expanding, and Jan and I talked about this, we may well talk about more on Monday. They're now up to what? Jan, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 buildings? Not one of them pays a water bill, for God's sake. How is that accretive to the rest of us, them growing?
Well, it's only accretive to the people that are employed by there.
Well, yeah,
you take a MEDAX to this, what happens to the amount of spending that goes on in the general area of that campus?
Well, that's the one thing I learned at University of Chicago with the Milton Friedmanites.
All interconnected.
He would lob a test. He would give you like the stupidest thing. Some little thing out of Time magazine that somebody endorsed this policy. He'd say, follow that stock and flow for the next 5 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah. but now nobody, okay, if you do this, then what happens?
Nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about it. Just lob it out there. It sounds good. We'll see what happens. Anyway, Carl, thank you. John, thank you. SP Futures up 4, NASDAQ Futures up 80. NASDAQ's almost regained everything it lost yesterday. We'll see if that continues. Back on Monday, Stacks and Jacks.
That's all, folks.